I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It may not surprise you to learn that frequently in my life, I get asked to pray publicly. That should be kind of funny. Of course you do. You walk around like this all the time. And it's not just at public events for church. It's like family meals. And then occasionally, somebody wants to up the ante, and they'll sidle up to me, and they'll be like, hey, look, I know you have like a direct line with the big guy. So we're thinking, can we get no rain this weekend? It's Johnny's birthday party, and we're doing it outside, right? Which objectively would be awesome if that's how it worked. That's not how it works. There is no direct line. I do not have special powers. My prayers are not more effective than anybody else's. However, this sentiment lurks around the edges of a lot of Christian communities, and it lurked around the edges of the community of believers in Corinth that Paul wrote the letter to that we read this morning. Now, what we had in 2 Corinthians, this is basically part of an ongoing correspondence. We're reading somebody else's mail, and we've got a letter that has been going from the leader, the person that started the church, which is Paul, to this remaining set of believers that are continuing it in Corinth. He's not there. He's off somewhere else, but he's getting word from them about what's going on, and so he's sending them letters to instruct them about particular matters. One of the things that's happening in this church is that since Paul started it but has left, other leadership has emerged to lead the church. And that leadership is appealing to their own, like, mystical spiritual experiences as the way of saying, this is why I should be in charge. Like, Warren, I appreciate how nice you are and how funny you are and punny as well. But let's be honest, I'm the one that has had the mystical encounter with the risen Christ. So isn't that kind of why I should be, like, in charge? Doesn't that put me a touch over you? I mean, we all know that's how it works. It doesn't work like that? Okay, you're actually on Paul's side, because these leaders are appealing to that sort of smug, self-righteous ranking system. And so what Paul is doing in this little section of the text today is he's like, okay, look, if we wanted to play the ranking game, I could tell you about somebody, someone I know, he's totally talking about himself, that had like the mystical experience of all mystical experiences. I was subsumed into the third heaven and heard the voice of God say amazing stuff that I'm not even allowed to tell you. But I'm not playing that game, because God's not playing that game. God doesn't do rankings. God isn't about striations and hierarchies of who's better and who's worse. He's like, in fact, what I will boast about is the fact that I've got this problem I can't lick. I've got this thorn in my flesh. I've got something that I try to get my hands around and get a handle on, and I can't. It's too big for me. In fact, three times I asked God to remove it. And if I was playing the ranking system with you all, I'd tell you that story to tell you that on the third time I asked God, God removed the burden from me and I was miraculously healed, and that's why I should be your authority. But that's not what happened. God said, actually, you get to keep this because my grace is sufficient for you. In fact, the way it becomes manifest and power that I'm about comes to you is actually in that weakness. That's how my power works. That's how healing happens. So actually, Paul, if you want to boast, you could boast only in your weaknesses. So that's what he does. He's like, this is what I'm boasting about. Because for Paul, and I'd like to quote one of our great public theologians right now, Paul is trying to teach them that weak is the new strong. Weak, I know, it's cheeky. That's why I stole it, because it's good. Weak is the new strong. In this kingdom, in this Jesus way, weakness is where all the strength come from. Now look, you already know this. All of us are already aware of this, because if you think about the times in your life that you have been most awake and aware to what really matters, the stuff that actually is important, like those moments where of like clarity, where it cuts through all of the static and nonsense that comes our way, I mean, for me, I don't know about you, but I would say for me, they have, like, the four or five of them, the really significant ones, they're moments of failure. They've been moments of intense pain for me, moments of embarrassment, right? Moments of humiliation. Like, that's when I have grown and been healed the most, because in those moments, I was finally open to grace. I stopped trying so hard. It was like the weakness that I experienced in that moment, that's what opened, there was like a strength in it because it opened me to a power beyond myself. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced this? Where like that moment of failure and weakness for you actually became like the soil in which all these new things could grow that would not have grown if you hadn't gotten in touch with it, embraced it. But it's how it works. It's because weak is the new strong. That's what the cross is about. Weak, Paul is inviting us to know, is the new strong. Now, there are in the first century is not unlike this century in that there are dominant energies that get involved and kind of run the culture, that create the worldview and the stories we all live by, okay? I've written down a few for our day. Tell me if these sound familiar. Energies that might run the roost in 2018. Ranking, grasping, clinging, clawing, winning, tearing down, comparing ourselves to others self-righteously, right? You watch somebody else fail and you're like, at least I'm not doing that bad, right? You know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? I totally do that. I'll just be honest. I do that all the time. I don't mean to. My kids aren't going through that. That's a good thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like these, they're out there and those energies like lurk around and influence us, right? Well, I mean, what does this look like? Years ago when I lived in Nashville, Kristen and I got a gift certificate to this Italian restaurant that was downtown. And so we get dressed up, we go downstairs, or we go downtown, and we go into the bottom floor of the restaurant, and we walk in, and there in front of us is the Stanley Cup. And this is like, you know the Stanley Cup? It's like hockey's big trophy, and it's right there. And it was really cool, and we're like, oh my gosh, why? Is that the real Stanley Cup? Why is it here? Well, it was there because the Nashville Predators, the professional hockey team, they were having an event in the bottom floor of this restaurant. And so, like, all the players were there, the owners, everyone's families, and the Stanley Cup tours around in the off season. And so they had the cup there, and it was this big to-do. So Kristen and I go upstairs, and we have dinner, and we come back down, and as we're leaving the restaurant, we basically end up in the valet line with all of these professional athletes and owners, like the Predators. And so the way that, because there's so many of us, basically the valets are coming down and they're calling out like car make and models, and you like raise your hand and you would get your keys. I know. So the valet pops out, black Porsche. And that's going, yeah, right over here. Mercedes convertible, yeah. And then of course, comes my like mid-90s Plymouth minivan with like crushed Cheerios in the carpet and like a cracked windshield, you know? And I'm sitting there like next to this guy, Plymouth minivan! That's me. No, be careful with the key because it'll break off if you turn it too hard. I'll take that one. Yeah, the one that smelled like sour milk because my kids spilled it, that one's mine. Yeah, that's got that. Why do we all laugh at that? Because we totally understand that that story illustrates the silliness of these values, and yet we all live by them, don't we? We give them so much authority. Where am I ranking? Am I doing better than so-and-so? Am I here? Am I there? Am I really winning? It manifests itself in the way that we handle our careers. Like, am I doing better than Johnson in accounting? You know, well, I might not be have the corner office, but I got a better office than that guy, right? At least I'm not like out of work like so-and-so, or like I'm not, you know, we have these sort of things, or it manifests with the way that we feel about our children, right? Are my kids, are they doing well? Are they succeeding? Are they getting into the good colleges? How are people going to feel if they don't get into the right schools? Are they getting the right opportunities? Do I have them in enough extracurriculars? Are they doing better than so-and-so's kids? Right? Do you know what I'm saying? Or maybe it manifests itself, it's that inner voice that either keeps telling you, you're not good enough. You can't, you aren't moral enough. You haven't done enough right. You're not thin enough, fast enough, smart enough, whatever it is, like the inner critic, or the inner voice that bolsters your ego, it like feeds your sense of self-righteous importance. You are better than so-and-so. Look, feel good, because you're the boss and they're the employee, or whatever it is, right? You know these energies, you know this voice. The gospel today is that weak is the new strong. The gospel announcement, the Jesus wisdom that he lays out in that synagogue in the gospel this morning is that God is not playing this game. God has never played the points game. God has never played the ranking game. God does not do this system. God's not about climbing or winning or achieving. God's power starts to show up in weakness, right? This wisdom doesn't fit the values that we all hold and find ourselves caught up in, does it? Which is why the crowd that day finds it so offensive. Because, Jesus, I spent my whole life working for this. I busted my hump in school so I could go to the best college, so I could get the best grad school, so I get the best career. Are you telling me that that's not where my sense of self-worth comes from? And Jesus is like, yeah, thank God. Because isn't the game exhausting? Isn't the game just so, like, it makes you so tired. I'm so over it. I mean, oh, like trying to participate in this kind of nonsense, it's a killer. Which is why, but if weak is the new strong, well, then you don't have to stress about not having it all together. You don't have to feel like I need to put on the happy face, because when somebody sees me in the grocery store and I'm really miserable, I can't let them know that I'm actually miserable, or I would lose ranking. The invitation of the gospel is to quit playing the ranking system. The invitation of the gospel, welcome to your weakness. Oh, would you get in touch with your weakness? Would you embrace it? Would you say, I'm so worried about my kids, it's freaking me out, it's out of my control. The gospel is, yes, there are things that are out of your control. Embrace that, and you will find strength. I can't make this inner voice in my head quit criticizing me all the time. I can't stop degrading myself and talking down about myself. Yes, welcome to your weakness. Embrace that. The gospel says, yeah, you might need a strength that's bigger than you, and there is strength to be had when you embrace that. I don't think I'm where I wanted to be. By the time I hit 50 years old, I thought I'd have this, this, and this, and I don't. Whew, you are open to a new kind of freedom that you have never been open for. Do not run from that moment. You are invited in that moment to get in touch with a weakness that will produce a strength in you you have never known. Are you with me? This is gospel. But this is a hard word. This is an offensive word. This is a word that challenges us. But I want to tell us, particular, St. Paul's, this is true. You do not have to play the points game. You do not have to play the ranking game. God is not playing this game. We don't have to play it either. So I want to give you some practices that I have found helpful. This is information that's been working on me for a long time, and I'm not great at it. Occasionally, I'm good at it. Sometimes you go bald when you're 23, and you have to kind of deal with it a little bit. But Okay, so a couple of things. First, practices that help you get in touch with the weakness that produces strength and healing and new life. In a conflict with someone you love, I want to invite you to be the first one to admit that you're wrong. Ooh. The best part is I knew this happened the first service too. All of the spouses turned to each other like this. Right? So like, I want to invite you, practice the weakness that is this. I messed that up. I'm not going to wait for you to come and apologize and ask me to apologize. I'm sorry I did that wrong. It's killing me to say it here publicly in front of all of them. But it's true. So be the first to admit you're wrong. Oh, that can, you can feel how it starts to push against the ego. The ego does not want to hear this. The ego wants to believe that the ranking system is how it works. The ego wants to hold to that. The gospel is like, oh, if we could break that, there could be some freedom in you. So that's one. Number two, someone else gains an advantage in life. Something good happens to them. They get a leg up. They gain some recognition. They get a new job. And you feel jealous. Do you know this feeling? This happens, right? So the prayer that works against the jealousy is this. I'm really happy for you. Right? Not passive aggressively. Not like, really happy. Try to actually channel a sense of, I'm really happy for you. That may be hard, but in that moment, you might become open to a strength that is beyond your strength, and that strength is God, because it's a strength that shows up in your weakness. Are you with me? Third thing, in any of those moments where you find yourself struggling and thinking, I don't have the strength to manage this, I don't have what it takes, to do this path on my own. I can't get rid of the inner critic. I keep finding my self-worth in trying to be better than other people. I'm stressed about my kids. I'm worried about my career. In that moment, the prayer is this. I quit. I'm quitting the game. In this moment, God, I quit. Or you could pray it this way. I trust you. In this moment, God, I'm entrusting myself to you. I'm not entering the game. I'm not living by the game. I'm trusting you. I'm quitting the game. I'm walking off the field. My friends, if as a community we start to step into this, it is a witness that the world is desperate to hear. So may you get in touch with your weakness. May you embrace the gospel subversive wisdom of Jesus, the offensive wisdom that says God is not playing the ranking game. Everything you thought was working for you has actually been working against you the whole time. So let us get familiar with our weakness, and may you in that familiarity find it to indeed be a source of strength. Amen.